Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy.
Welcome to Midweek Motivation. I am offering you an opportunity this summer to go with me in pursuit of the truth of God's Word. Let's stop for a minute and see what pursuit even means, the word pursuit. If you have paper and pencil, start jotting stuff down. In fact, if you are going to accept this opportunity of pursuit with God's Word, grab you a journal. If you don't have one laying around the house, take this opportunity to go splurge on yourself. Buy a small little journal. It doesn't have to be a lot of pages, but find something that's going to capture and anchor all of the revelations of truth that the Holy Spirit is going to bring to you as you pursue God's Word. So, food for thought, go get you a journal. Pursuit, the act of following or chasing something. That's what we're going to engage in, the pursuit of the truth of God's Word. Now, when you think about pursuit, the act of following or chasing something, that means more than just having a goal or an agenda or a target. Pursuit means you're actively engaging in achieving that goal. So, for example, if you've had seasons in life where you're like, I'm going to read God's Word, or I'm going to have a relationship with God based on His Word, I'm going to study God's Word, but it was just a goal and you had no active accountability, or maybe no one was giving you steps or help to engage in achieving that goal, well, this is not that. This is an opportunity to be actively engaged in achieving the goal of reading and studying God's Word for yourself. But I'm going to be here to give you some helpful guidance. Let's think about the word compels. What compels you? Well, let's look at what the word compels means. Compel means to be impressed upon and to desire to do something so much that it drives you to action. So again, compels is more than just being passive. Compels means you have been impressed upon so much to desire something so much that it drives you from passive listener to active participant. So if you are listening to this, I pray that you prayerfully ask the Holy Spirit if He is compelling you to pursue His Word. And that's what it is. It's the daily discipline of pursuing your relationship with God through the reading and studying of His Word, and to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what His truth of His Word is then compelling you to do in obedience to it. So, I hope you have a journal. If you've had to stop this and go get a journal and start again, please do. Or if you listen to this whole episode, then go buy your journal and then listen to it again, please do. But take your journal, open up to the first blank page, and hey, I've had many different kinds of journals over my life. I've had blank page journals. I've had graph paper journals. I've had line paper journals. I've had the journals that just have those little dots so that way your writing kind of keeps straight, but it seems more freeform. Anyway, you knock yourself out. You do you. Get a journal that brings joy to your heart. You like the way it feels. You like the size. Get you a pen that just sparks happy. And let's get going. Inside the beginning of your journal, I really want you to write the date. Whatever the date for you is right now, here today, write it down. And then write down the word compel and write down the word pursuit. And literally write beside the word compel, desire driving me to action. Desire driving me to action. In the pursuit, put the act of achieving my goal. The act of achieving my goal. Because that's what this summer opportunity is. You have been compelled to pursue him. Let's do it. Okay, the first thing I want you to write down then on a new page is Psalm 111. Psalm 111. Each time we meet together in this summer pursuit, I'm going to give us a passage to look at. Now, to keep and make sure that we are not taking things out of context, when we do this, it will be an entire chapter at minimum of the Bible. We're not just going to take a verse, or we're not going to do things line by line. We're going to do it in a chapter context. And we're going to start in Psalm, because if you have never engaged in a study of God's Word, the Psalm is a safe place to start, because it is a lament, it is a prayer, it is praises, it is question, it's a motive from David to the Lord. So it often has us in a similar place of how we wrestle with our emotions in response to God's actions. So it helps us, the perspective of David being just vulnerably honest with God, I myself can resonate with that. So let's look at Psalm 111, and I am literally going to read it to you. It is 10 verses. I'm sure you're multitasking right now, but at some point I hope you go to your Bible, the version of your choice. I will always be reading from the ESV, and I hope you look at Psalm 111 for yourself. If you are not a circle underline marker in your Bible, then maybe you want to write the passage word by word, all 10 verses down in your journal, so you can then participate with the Word of God. I'm here to tell you, I mark in my Bible. I'm not worried about making a mistake. I do it with pen, the kind that doesn't bleed on my Bible pages. But it is to me a workbook for me to study. I am not trying to convince you to take that approach with the Word of God, but I am going to ask you to participate with the Word of God. So that's either you going, all right, I'm going to get some no-bleed pens and I'm going to mark up my Bible, or, like I said, print off, if you have a printer, print off Psalm 111 and mark on that, or transcribe it into your journal and mark on that. But until you are actually engaging in achieving the goal of the study of His Word, then you're just a passive participant. And we want to go from passive to active. So here we go. Psalm 111. Read along with me if you have the ability to, and if not, prayerfully listen and look at it on your own when you can. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Heavenly Father, in the reading of your word, your truth jumps out to me. The things that you are promising for the faithful, the things that you are saying there's a cause and an effect to. May we look at the truth in your word. May we seek the revelation of the Holy Spirit to prompt us from passive to active participant, that we recognize the truth of your word and we are driven to action, that we walk it out, that we talk it out, that we don't just keep our relationship with you private, but that we are okay to invite someone else in on the journey, that it may help us be accountable and that we may be accountable for them as well. It's in your Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so now on this journal page, I want you to literally make what's called a T-chart. And that is just simply that you're going to make a horizontal line across the top, and you're going to make a vertical line down the center of your page. On the left-hand column, I want you to put a title over there, and I want you to put me. On the right-side column heading, I want you to put God. And across the total top, I want you to write faithful. Faithful. Me, column left, God, column right. And what I want you to do is I want you to participate in the Word of God by taking the language from the passage and putting it into either the me side. If I am faithful, I should be doing this. And then the God side, because if I am faithful in this, God is going to show himself faithful like this. And I'm not going to give you all the answers. In fact, you're going to have to listen to next Wednesday's Midweek Motivation to hear me speak over what I found from the scripture. Now keep in mind, what you find and I find does not have to be alike, because the Holy Spirit, if we are seeking him to reveal to us the truth of his word, the truth is going to be the same. The truth will never waver. But what he needs to say to you and what he needs to say to me can vary from the same common truth. But I am going to give you a few examples in case you're just like, I don't have a clue what she's talking about. Can she not just give us a couple examples? Yes, absolutely I will. So let's look at the very first line of Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. Okay, stop and think. Which category does that go in? Is that something that I should be doing? If I am faithful, I should be praising the Lord? Or is that something that should go on the God column? That God says he will praise the Lord if we do something, or that he's going to be praising the Lord even if we're not doing anything. Okay, I hope I heard you right. Praise the Lord should go on the me column, left side. So jot it down. We're just basically bulleting these. So, I mean, you can just write praise. That if we are being faithful to him, participating and pursuing him, that we have to offer him our praise. Or if you want to write the whole line down, praise the Lord. If you want to write down which exact verse that came out of 111, write verse 1. Because, oh yeah, up there at the top, go ahead and make sure you keep the reference there in case you ever needed to go back to it. So anchor yourself with somewhere up there by faithful. Put Psalm 111. You can even put 1 through 10 if you want to. Or you could be doing all of this in your Bible. And if so, like what I did is I literally underlined in one color. I used red. I put praise the Lord because I knew that was something that I needed to do. And in my mind, when I color code, when I verse map in my scripture, I use different colors representing different things. So red is going to be everything in this chapter 111 that I feel compelled to do. And then I'm going to use another color, blue, for the things that I see that God is saying, Paulette, this is my faith in action. This is what I'm going to be doing. But I'm going to bless you with things if you pull your side of faithfulness. Because the other thing I want you to realize is faithfulness is what God is to us, but it requires something back from us to him. He is faithful, but he requires our faith. And Christ paid the ultimate cost of faithfulness. God paid the ultimate cost of faithfulness by sending His perfect Son. His perfect Son accepted that cost and died for our sins. But there is a cost to our faith as well. It's being diligent, being disciplined, being in His Word, surrendering ourself. It's resting, it's trusting, it's releasing control of what we think we need or want to Him. So faith comes at a cost. It came at a cost from Him. It comes at a cost back to Him. So let's look at another one. Next line, after praise the Lord, which we've just decided goes in left column, let's look at the next one. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. So just stop and ask yourself, is that something the Word of God is saying I need to do? Or is that something that the Word of God is affirming that God is or that God does? Well, it's us. So first, we need to praise Him. Secondly, we need to give Him thanks. So let's stop for just a moment. We're going to jump a little bit now into the application part. How often when you begin to pray to Him privately, alone, one-on-one, or maybe with others, do you begin with praise and thank? Or do you immediately jump into your needs list? And there is nothing wrong with having a needs list, hear me. But stop and try if you start your prayer with something you're grateful for, thanking Him for, you are recognizing as a blessing from Him before you get into a need. So that is already an application from a truth that we've just seen revealed to us. So maybe at the bottom of your page, or maybe on another page, you want to write applications from the truth of Psalm 111. Do you understand? So at first, what we're doing is we are simply putting knowledge and understanding from the Word of God into categories, which is going to help us comprehend it, understand it, get wisdom from it. But we can't just go from, well, I know it, I heard it, I saw it. We have to be moved to application. Remember, compelled drives us to action, pursuit, achieving that goal by engaging in it. So if you just read the Word to read the Word, that is a wonderful first step. But we want to read the Word of God, identify the truth of God, to act out of obedience to the Word of God. So the first thing that I have seen for myself, beyond praising and thanking with my whole heart, not half-hearted, whole heart, is the fact that I could apply that to my prayer life. I could say, "Ooh, okay, Paulette, let's strive, let's be compelled to begin every prayer with first a thank you, God." With a genuine heart, thank you, God. Okay, let's do a couple more and then I'm going to stop or I'm going to give too much away. And I don't want to be doing your homework. The next line is, in the company of the upright in the congregation. All right, stop and ask yourself, do you think this is saying that you should be in the company of others who are godly righteous in a congregational setting? Or do you think this is saying that's something God should do to demonstrate His faithfulness? Yep, you're right. It's on the me side. So here's what I have on my T-chart so far. Praise Him, thank Him, and hang out with others who do. You see that? I need to praise my God, I need to thank my God, and I need to hang out with other people who do. Those are the first three things in my left side column, and at the moment, I don't have anything on the right side yet. Because when David started this, he started it with himself. And then therefore now we can see it as us in mind. But let's go enough to where you have something in the right column and then I'm going to quit helping. Verse 2, great are the works of the Lord. Ah, That has nothing to do with us. There is nothing we can do to deserve it, to earn it, to propel him to do it, other than rest in it and trust him. That's the cost of our faith. Remember, we talked about his faith had a cost. Our faith has a cost. But great works of the Lord belongs where? On the right column side. He will exude and bring and offer and purpose great works. But that's all on him. So let's stop for a minute now that you've got that much written down, and let's look. If we only worried or stressed or spent brain cells or energy or emotion on the left column, and we let God handle the right column, life would be a whole lot easier, and it helps us stay in a surrendered state. So look at that T-chart. Remind yourself of it when you are overstressing and under-trusting him. All we should worry about at the moment, we have only gotten through 1.5 verses. Praise him, thank him, and hang out with others who do. And what's he going to do? Great works. Well, when's he going to do them? That's not about us to know. Where's he going to do them? That's not on our column. How's he going to do them? That's not on our column. Does he need help doing those? It doesn't say that. It doesn't say great are the works of the Lord helped by us. So I'm telling you this, as you read and study God's truth, and if you really capture it in a way that you see it, and then if we live it, since we've learned from it, and we apply it out of obedience, it's going to make your life simple. We are going to accept the call that he gives over and over and over and over and over again in his word. Do you trust me? Do you know that I am God? Do you trust that I am faithful? Do you know the God that I am? Because he has many names. He has many names, but he's asking us if we know them. If we don't know the different names of God, then we don't really recognize who all he can be for us. He is our deliverer, Jehovah Mephalti. He is our victory and our banner, Jehovah Nisi. He is God, our provider, Jehovah Jireh. But sometimes I think we're like, well, he's God on Sunday. But man, Monday through Saturday is hard. And I think that's why I love to verse map and truth journal and word study the Bible, because it reminds me of my position in relationship to my God. My God is King. I am the daughter. He's asking me to hang out with other sisters in Christ. He wants me to recognize that he has compelled me to be on pursuit, to learn more about his character, and therefore surrender to it, to abide in his word and be a true disciple, John 8, 31 and 32. That's all I have to worry about. And then I will know the truth, and that truth is going to set me free, John 8, 31 and 32. My call is to abide in his word, to be a true disciple of him, and to not let the world impress upon me anxiety and characters that I do not need, that are not Christ-like. So I'm going to do one more, and then I'm going to stop. Let's just finish verse 2. So great are the works of the Lord is in the right column, and let's listen to this one. Studied by all who delight in them. Which side should that go on? Studying God, does that go on me column, that I should do that out of faithfulness? Or is that something he's promising to do because he is faithful? You're right. It's on the left column, that I need to study his word and delight in it. Well, I can't delight in something I do not know. A glad heart makes a cheerful face. Proverbs 15, verse 13. My reflection, my countenance is really a peephole into my inner self. And if I'm going to reflect cheerful, then it's because I am delighting in the work of the Lord. And how do I know that? I am studying His Word. And if you do not have a countenance reflecting joy and cheer and peace and trust, I think it's a mirror to let you know that He is compelling you to pursue Him in His Word. So we're going to stop right there. I have walked you through 2 verses of the 10. I'm going to leave you to do the rest on your own. And on the beginning of next Wednesday's podcast, I'll do a quick little recap of more of the things that I saw, hoping that it's affirming the things that you also saw. And then I'm going to give you your next passage and have you walk it out with me. I'll always use some type of a graphic organizer. This was T-chart. We'll do different things, or we may revisit some. But I'm just trying to help you be compelled to pursue Him. And through the action of that, you realize that God speaks to us through His Word. His Word is living, breathing, active. And if we don't think we can hear the mysteries from Him, it's because we have never dove into His Word and looked for Him to reveal Himself to us. The Bible is reliable. He's asking us to read it and obey it. It's very simple. Let's look at Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And Hebrews 4:11, let us therefore strive to enter the rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Here's what he's saying. If you are anxious, rest in my word. If you think you're just striving to come up with all the answers, rest in my word. If you aren't sure of the future, rest in my word. If you have issues about finances, relationships, jobs, children, rest in my word. He's calling us to rest. He's saying he has all the answers already down on paper. We just have to read it. But I honestly know that some people have had no guidance in how to pursue the Word of God. It's not that you've not been compelled. You just don't know what to do with it. So jump on this opportunity this summer. Every Wednesday, we'll look at a new passage and take the opportunity to see how the Holy Spirit is speaking directly to us to drive truth into action for His kingdom and His kingdom only. Thank you for tuning in.
May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.